Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 128, the stanzas 1 and 3. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. And what follows? Psalter 128, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 2. And afterward, from the Canons of Dort, the second head of doctrine, the Articles 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Canons of Dort, the second head of doctrine of the death of Christ and the redemption of men thereby. Article 1. God is not only supremely merciful, but also supremely just. And His justice requires, as He hath revealed Himself in His Word, that our sins committed against His infinite majesty should be punished, and not only with temporal, but with eternal punishment, both in body and soul, which we cannot escape unless satisfaction be made to the justice of God. Article 2. Since therefore we are unable to make that satisfaction in our own persons, or to deliver ourselves from the wrath of God, he hath been pleased in his infinite mercy to give us only begotten Son for our surety, who was made sin and became a curse for us and in our stead, that he might make satisfaction to divine justice on our behalf. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy mercy, in thy providence, in this evening hour, to gather us and our children within the walls of thy house, under thy word and eternal testimony. Give a heart to acknowledge thee. Ah, could it be a humble heart for all the blessings which thou so richly and undeservedly hast showered upon us and our children in this day, and that for a sinful people, for an unthankful people, a people that takes so much for granted. Lord, look down upon us and our children, and the Son of thine eternal love, in whom thou art well pleased. And then the church has thought it well to set a day apart, a day of remembrance, that we and our children may be given to reflect and remember thy mighty works, which thou hast done in the days of old, and to humbly beg thee for a reformation also in our day. Oh, there was a time upon the world where the gospel was obscured, thy word so hidden. Ah, thou still had a remnant that has been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. But, oh Lord, they were taught that they had to satisfy by their works, and that people, how troubled and how burdened they were. But, Lord, then it was thy time. There was a church that is groaned under that Egyptian bondage, where there was such a darkness, and they have cried mightily unto thee, and thou hast heard the prayers, and then it has pleased thee to raise up men converted by thee, taught by thee. Thou hast given them many talents, a burning zeal for the truth, a love for never dying souls, and to that end, they were so willing. Oh, there were times that it seems that they stood alone, but they had an eye upon thee, the mighty King of the Church, unto whom is given all power in heaven and upon earth. O, an eye upon thy glory, and a vehement desire, that thy kingdom may come, and that the truth of thy holy word may be spread among the masses. Then there have been those that have sacrificed much. There have been so many that have sacrificed everything. The blood has flown. The stakes have burnt. But, O Lord, thy word was blessed, accompanied by the powerful and loving work of the Holy Spirit. And then the truth of thy holy word was declared, how that a poor sinner could be saved through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. Thou was granted such a rich blessing among young and old in different countries. We may still be the children of the Reformation, O Lord. There are so many places where the Reformation truth was proclaimed, but where that truth is no longer to be found. To that end, what maketh us to differ? Then we have a precious heritage entrusted unto us. And then what a great calling we and our children have, that we may be guardians of that truth and of that heritage, our Lord. Then we have many sins to confess, that the inner chambers are too empty concerning the truth. We have to confess that we are not zealous like the reformers. They were lovers of the truth. They were livers of the truth. They were wrestlers for the truth. And they were given to behold thy mighty works. Although the enmity has been great, Lord, it is needful in this our day for a reformation, for a revival, personally, in the church, in the community, and in our nation. Oh, the psalmist of old has prayed, cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Turn us, and we shall be turned. To that end, Lord, may we be given to ask great things of thee. Surely then thou art well pleased. But then it needs to be accompanied by that true faith, and that we have not of ourselves. Oh, it was in the Reformation that free and sovereign grace, that it was proclaimed so freely for poor and needy sinners, our Lord. May in this evening hour, may their souls have come up in the house of bondage, trying so hard to satisfy thy justice and to be given to experience a sinner still, guilty still, a debtor still. Then we humbly ask thee that the precious Reformation truth declared in the Holy Scriptures that it may be used in this evening to set us all free, to set us all at liberty, to by an eye of faith, to come with the burden of their sins, to the cross of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be given to experience and embrace by that true saving faith that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. O Lord, do remember us and our children. Convert what is unconverted, and wilt thou remember thy people. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember this nation, remember this province. We have departed so far from thy word and from thy testimonies. Remember our leaders, Lord, convert them. Then their effort shall all be focused. It shall all become different. Then we commend unto thee our southern neighbor, the United States of America, where in 8 days elections have been planned. Then in the pastime, then thou wast yet given tokens to that nation that thou wast not forsaken them concerning the protection of the unborn. Oh, in the coming week, may the prayers be multiplied that thou may remember that people also departed so far from thee, that men may be chosen who daily open thy holy word, who were given to bend their knees, asking thee for wisdom. Lord, remember all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the afflicted ones, the mother in the hospital with her heart condition. Ah, thou wast given some strengthening. Further testing is required. Grant unto the physicians what is necessary. Remember her together with her dear husband when he hopes to commemorate a birthday in the day of tomorrow. Remember them both for body and for soul, and so far that it may please thee for the body. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou remember all the hearers? Ah, do remember them. Bless them. Save them. Encourage and comfort them. Lord, may we be found to be more a praying and a begging people with a solemn impression upon of all of our hearts of the solemnity of the times and the great need for a God-wrought, Spirit-wrought reformation amongst us and our children. Oh, on such a day, then we have many transgressions to confess. Lord, wilt thou forgive them? For in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 213, the first four stanzas. My people, give ear, attend to my word. In parables, new deep truths shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known, to children succeeding by us must be shown, and what follows, Psalter 213, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Corinthians 2, the first verse, the last part, and the verses 2, 3, and 4, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Our text words speak of the preaching of Christ crucified. In the first place, as we find it in our text words, by the Apostle Paul. And secondly, by Ulrich Zwingli. The preaching of Christ crucified by the Apostle Paul. And then considering our text, then in the first place, a preaching based upon a testimony. Secondly, a preaching of the only Savior. Thirdly, a preaching with much trembling. And fourthly, the preaching needing the application by the Holy Spirit. Beloved congregation, then in this day the church may remember the days of old when the Lord has wrought wonderfully. Our children know it. In the year 1517, on October 31, that Martin Luther, he has taken 95 theses and nailed them to the church door of Wittenberg. When we consider the reformers, then it is very clear that it is the work of the Lord. We must not think that Martin Luther has begun and then it is spread. It is true. It was not even the intention of Martin Luther that those theses, that they would be translated and spread. But when we study the Reformation, we hope to hear it in this evening. Then the Lord has wrought wonderfully at the same time in different places and different hearts. And then the reformers, they had five watchwords that begin with sola, and that is the Latin for alone. Thus first, sola scriptura, second, solia gratia, that is grace alone. Thirdly, sola fide, by faith alone. Fourthly, sola Christi, that is through Christ alone. And then fifthly, sola Dea Gloria, that is unto the Lord be all the honor. When we read our text, then Paul is given to write, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Then Paul did not bring his own words, A buddy brought the words of a sender many times, quoting the Old Testament, and he was given to write the letters, the epistles to the churches, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. In the Middle Ages, then the Word of God, in many countries, forbidden to be read by the ordinary people, for many other people, too costly. Before the printing press, scribes needed to copy the scriptures over. Many have been burnt on the stake for owning the scriptures. But further, then in the Middle Ages, then there were different writings and different matters that were placed above the Word of God. Then the writing of the fathers in the colleges and the universities, the Bible, there were years hardly studied, but then they studied the writings of the fathers. Then in the second place, then tradition that had a higher authority than the Holy Scriptures. And to that end, the necessity that the Scriptures would be preached by renewal of the pulpits and that they would be translated into the different languages that they would be read in the family circles. When we consider the blessed time of the Reformation, then we do well to examine our family's personal life, church life. How is it now with that sola scriptura? Does the Word of God have absolute authority and the greatest place in our life? There are many other books, many good books, also autobiographies for our children to read, but there's the danger in the first place that we place the experience that we read in autobiographies above the Holy Word of God. In the second place, that with many good books, that the Bible more and more remains closed. In the third place, that we place tradition, our fathers have done it this way, that we place, or what a child of God does, that we even place it above the Holy Word of God. Then it is necessary for the church that we continually, prayerfully, read and search the Holy Scriptures. What saith the Lord? So Paul, the preacher to the Gentiles, was given to bring the word, a preaching of the only Savior. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was the vehement desire of the apostle. And why was that congregation? Because he was arrested by grace. Oh, he is sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was taught in the law of Moses. He is written to the Philippians that his life was blameless. But then on that way to Damascus, when he was felled by free and sovereign grace, and when they have brought him on that street straight, and there for 3 days, he is laid before a holy, a just, a good-doing God. And there he has learned in a short time that by the works of the law no flesh can and shall be justified. There that precious Savior was revealed unto him. Oh, what we have read out of the canons of Dort, that he has taken the sin in the church upon him, that a guilty and unworthy, a hell-worthy, a people that has worked out that they can be saved. Oh, then it was the vehement desire that only name given under heaven, that it may be preached among the multitudes. Thus I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Must not understand it, as if Paul has not preached the other matters out of the word of God. When we read his epistles, then he has spoken of justification and sanctification. And that was now the vehement desire of the reformers. Oh, that precious name of Jesus, that it may be lifted up as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but of everlasting life. Oh, in the time and before the time of the Reformation, the Lord had a remnant. The Lord shall always have a remnant. And there were troubled souls in the church, convicted by the Holy Spirit. Oh, they have tried so hard to work out their salvation, that the Lord would be satisfied and that he may be saved. But there were burdened ones that under that doctrine of works, that their debt only become greater, and it became more and more impossible. Oh, it is true. There were voices, because in the church there was a remnant that has also been led further. Think of Staupitz. When he has spoken to Luther, then he has pointed to our text, the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Olivianus. We have mentioned it with Lord's Day number 1. Then he has says, my boy, in the Old Testament and throughout all ages, then the church is saved through that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this evening hour, are there a few Jews and a few Roman Catholics in my midst? I think there are souls that understand it, because when the Lord shows it unto us, then we are such a Jew, trying to save herself by her works. Then we are as a Roman Catholic, always a Luther. If there was a man upon the earth that could be saved by his works, then it would have been Martin Luther. But oh, that righteousness of God, that has caused him to tremble. Oh, are there souls that have tried so hard to please the Lord, and a sinner still? Oh, then in this evening, then that precious Savior may be preached. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, it was the message of the reformers. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, the reformers, Paulus preached those precious invitations. A crucified Savior with outstretched arms. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Ah, maybe then there is a soul that says, but may I come? Can I now come? Have I learned to know my misery deep enough? Oh, am I unworthy and humble enough, soul? Do you think it shall ever be? Ah, then in this evening concerning that precious invitation, oh, concerning a crucified Savior with outstretched arms, oh, then in this evening, then he calls, come with a burden of sin to the foot of the cross. And it is written in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Where he is feared than the children of men, and grace is poured out upon his lips. Ah, maybe a soul that says, but I have nothing to pay. Oh, what do we then read in Isaiah 55 verse 1? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Oh, Paul has learned the preciousness of that Lord Jesus Christ, that he has made unto us wisdom, sin, righteousness, sanctification, and full redemption. Oh, Christ has come to save sinners. That is the name of Jesus. That was the desire, and that was the delight, for I determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, concerning the Son of God, then the Father has delighted in a Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the Holy Spirit, it is his work, that he may glorify the Son, that room may be made in the hearts of sinners by his uncovering and convicting work, because the room needs to be made, because they read in Isaiah 53 verse 2 that there is no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. And in John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Oh, then the preachers, they delight. Ah, they fall so short, it is but a little stammering. But Paul is given to write to the Corinthians that he determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And ah, poor and needy sinners that are worked out, that are talked out, that know it not anymore, that have learned that they cannot save themselves. Do we not read in the Song of Solomon 1 verse 3 that his name is his ointment poured forth, but also a preaching with much trembling? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And Paul has learned to know a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he is given to write, and I was with you in weakness. Why was that? Ah, we read in 2 Corinthians 12 of a thorn in his flesh. Other places, cares of the churches, persecution. And I read in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then further, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, there is much religion in this world where we do not find so much of that fear and even less of that trembling. Even Paul, who was led so clearly and so far concerning the mysteries of salvation, then he has come to the Corinthians in much trembling before the Reformation. There were still souls that trembled, written of Martin Luther, the first time Mass, that he trembled so exceedingly that he could not continue. But in general, in the church before the Reformation, still some form, but that holy reverence and that trembling was so much missing, much superstition. The priests were called to be puppets, not so much reverence for the Word of God, for the house of God. But when the Lord works, then there shall be that fear, that reverence, that holy awe for the things of the Lord. We have the examples. Think of Isaiah in Isaiah 6. When he saw those cherubims, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell among such a people. Find the same in Ezekiel 1, John on the island of Patmos. He fell down as dead. Thus that trembling, the first petition, our Father, that brings close, which art in heaven. And now when the Lord truly works, so it was the time of the Reformation, when the Lord is wrought wonderfully by His Spirit, when His Word was richly blessed, then that holy awe and reverence for that glorious, for that majestic, that righteous, that just, that merciful, that long-suffering God. When the Lord works by His Spirit and we are given to experience what sinners we are beginning, but each time by renewal, then there shall be that trembling, young and old. How is it with us? Is there not a great need for a reformation? Before the Reformation, then in the Roman Catholic Church, money played such a great part. No trembling. Our forethought, the preaching applied by the Holy Spirit, because we read, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, the Middle Ages was not so much spoken about the necessity and the blessing, the application of the Holy Spirit, then the sacraments, they conferred grace. Thus they did not need the application. But in the time of the Reformation, then there was spoken of the work of a triune God concerning the salvation of the sinner. Then in the Reformation, they also spoke of the responsibility of man to that end. The Reformers have spoken of the necessity of the instruction of young and old, especially our dear youth. But I read in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How necessary to pray with the bride of old in the Song of Solomon 4, verse 16. A blow, thou north wind, and come thou south, a blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. The necessity in the solemn days in which we live, a reformation personally, or is there no need in our life of reformation? How is it concerning the loving of that old truth? Ah, the Lord has a remnant, but read of the Reformers, what they have sacrificed. Oh, are our prayers not feeble concerning the need of a reformation, concerning the living of that reformation? Outside, we have a sign, Netherlands Reformed Congregation. Are we still Reformed? Because backsliding usually goes slowly. Are we a Reformed church? How do we compare? And let us not idolize the old times too much, because in the time of the Reformation there was also much amiss. But what a wonderful and great work the Lord has done. He has brought that people out of the house of bondage. How necessary to pray with the psalmist of Psalm 80, verse 19. Turn us, O Lord, again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. Let us first sing. Psalter 428, let us only sing the 8th stanza. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. I've sworn an oath which gladly I repeat, that I shall keep as always I have striven. And what follows, 428, only stanza 8. Thank you. a few words about the reformer Ulrich Zwingli. He was born in the country of Switzerland, approximately a country of 16,000 square miles, thus about 1/16 of the size of Alberta. He was born on January 1, 1484. Thus, that means that Zwingli was born because Martin Luther was born November 10, 1483. He was born 7 weeks later. Thus, that means that Luther and Zwingli, they were reformers before John Calvin, because John Calvin was born July the 10th of 1509. Different voices have already been heard. The Lord has given forerunners. John Wycliffe has died in 1384. John Huss in 1415. And those reformers, they determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But for the Reformation to break through, then it was not the Lord's time. But now in the time of Luther and Zwingli, then it was the Lord's time. Zwingli was the third of nine children in that family, 8 boys, 1 girl. His father was mayor, quite well-to-do. They had a sheep farm, and in the summer months, then they took the sheep up higher into the Alps. And then many times the young people and children, they were allowed to visit those shepherds and stay up there a few nights and then return. But Ulrich Zwingli did not have a desire to be a shepherd, but he had a desire to study. And the special providence of the Lord, because the Lord had a special task laid away for him to perform. And already when he was 10 years old, then he went to Basel, a place about 75 kilometers away, to attend another school to also learn Latin, thus boys and girls. Also in those days, it was not also simple for children. Just imagine boys and girls who were 10. If you would have to leave your parents' house and study in a faraway place, of course, in those days, no phones, thus separated from your loved ones. Then already at 18 years, he received his Master of Arts, and he became a teacher. But he continued to study, and when he was teacher, he met a priest by the name of Wittenbeck. That was a child of God. That is clear. What he has advised Zwingli, then he said that a time would soon come, that not the fathers would be studied in the first place, in colleges and universities, but the Holy Word of God. Then he has pointed Zwingli, it is not so clear. When the Lord has converted him, it was more a gradual work. We have not the record like we do of Martin Luther, but that Wittenbeck said, Zwingli, give diligence to study the Holy Scriptures. does not mean that Zwingli wasn't familiar, because it is written that he had a grandmother, and in the winter nights, then that grandmother would speak out of the Holy Scriptures, a great privilege and blessing for grandchildren, when they may have such grandparents. Then in 1506, in Glarus, he became a priest. He learned Greek, and also as a chaplain. Then three times he has accompanied the Swiss soldiers, because in the days of Zwingli, then the Swiss soldiers, they were known in Europe to be good soldiers. And then many times the Pope, he has hired them with many promises. Many were poor, that if they would fight in the foreign armies, that they would become rich. But many have never returned. Many fathers have returned so different when they have seen the cruelty in war, that wives, they received a different husband, and children a different father. And to that end, Zwingli has warned against that practice, that the Swiss soldiers would go to other countries to hire themselves out. But already in 1516, then he has come to Ensiedlen, where he has stayed 3 years, and there was a church where there was a subscription. Here we find complete forgiveness of sin, both of guilt and punishment. But Zwingli, then he was given to preach already there, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Thus then Zwingli was already preaching the gospel before Martin Luther has nailed his thesis on the doors of Wittenberg. Then in 1519, he has come to Zurich, a large town, at that time 7,000, in the northern part of Switzerland. And there he has begun to preach January 1. And then he has preached so different than the priests, because he began in Matthew 1 and he preached through the New Testament, excluding the book of Revelation. Oh, then he was given to speak of the necessity of conversion, that we cannot be saved by our works, but that the Father has given his Son, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. We can understand that in the time of the Reformation, that it was a very difficult and trying time. When we think of the time of COVID, all the different opinions from the right to the left and all in between, what it must have been for that church people when those preachers have come and they have preached the truth. A husband that said, "This is now the truth," and the wife could not take it over. Brothers and sisters, you can multiply it out. What a different thoughts and what a division there must have been. For generations, images, and now there was preached again, different thoughts. We do not have to broaden it out. In the year 1519, The plague has come through Switzerland. Also in the city of Zurich. And then Zwingli has hasted back. He has visited faithfully the sick. Was very contagious. When it was over, then 2,500, by that time the population was 9,000, 2,500 of the 9,000 inhabitants had died on account of the plague. And Zwingli, he also became infected, lay before the gates of eternity. But the Lord has watched over his servant, because the Lord still had work for him to do. And he was spared, and in that sickness, then he could speak. He has wrote a poem at the beginning of the sickness, when the sickness was the worst, and when he was healed. And then he could speak, that he was led further. Oh, then more so, for as Zwingli it was, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I have also read that during that plague, that the Lord has used it, that people were converted. How has it been with the COVID? Are there a few that may believe that the Lord has used it for the saving of souls? Or do we have to say we may return to normal and nothing has changed in my life? The time of the Reformation, the Lord has wrought wonderfully. The Council of Zurich, he has supported, stood behind Zwingli's preaching. But the enmity was great. Stones through his windows. Tried to abduct him, poison him. The government of Zurich has set a watch round about his house. 1524, he received a helpmeet, Anna Reinhardt, written a very godly woman. The marriage was blessed with three boys and one girl. But you can understand that there was great enmity against that preaching of free and sovereign grace. Oh, what a division. And we must not think, people, that in the Roman Catholic Church, that when a person was converted, happened that immediately they went over to the Reformation. But there were those, what a struggle it was, have been brought up in that doctrine. And now to hear that the forefathers have all been wrong. To that end, the Council of Zurich has called the meeting a council. There were 600 present. The mayor of Zurich has opened the meeting. And then Zwingli, we all know about the 95 theses of Martin Luther. But Ulrich Zwingli, he has written 67 theses. And then after the mayor has opened, was the year 1523, Then he has read those 67 theses. And in those theses, for I determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified, I shall read a few. In the second thesis, the sum of the gospel is that our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, has made known to us the will of his heavenly Father and redeemed us by his innocence from eternal death and reconciled us to God. Number three, therefore, Christ is the only way to salvation to all who were, who are, and who shall be. Number four, whosoever seeks or shows another door, errs, yea, is a murderer of souls and a robber. Number 17, Christ is the one eternal high priest. Those who pretend to be high priest resist, yea, set aside the honor and dignity of Christ. 22, Christ is our righteousness. From this it follows that our works are good, so far as they are Christ's, but no good, so far as they are our own. Then we hear from the preaching, from the thesis of Zwingli, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then at the end of those theses, he has said, I have preached that salvation is only in Christ. And to that end, I am called a heretic. Prove out of God's word that I have erred. And then it was silence. A bishop had sent a John Faber, and he faintly said that he had not a right to judge, and they may not put the fathers to the side. In the time of Zwingli, with Luther, there was a Tetzel. Maybe heard of him, boys and girls. He came to the people with a wagon, with a cross, and told that people that with money they could receive the forgiveness of sins. In Switzerland, there was a Samson. He was bolder yet. He plainly said, I sell the merits of Jesus Christ for cash payments. There's even recorded that there was a knight with 500 soldiers that has come to Samson, and they have bargained. And that knight, that is a very important man that has fought battles, then they have made the agreement that Samson may have that beautiful gray horse, and that the knight and the soldiers would receive the forgiveness of their sins. But by the preaching and the labors of Zwingli, that Samson was no longer allowed to come in that province. Then as a fruit upon the preaching of Zwingli, then in Zurich in the churches, much has been changed. Then the images have been taken, the crosses, everything that had to do with the Roman Catholic religion that was not biblical. And then there was also many different thoughts. There were those that were very zealous, too zealous. Others thought it must go slower, considering the past few years, then when we consider all those matters then we can understand a little all the thoughts there were, different thoughts, and there were indeed those that were too zealous, that they did it in a reckless way. But Zwinglius asked for order, thus they had meetings, they hired architects, and much was removed in the church. To that end, there was a difference between Luther and Zwingli and Calvin. Of course, Luther, he is broken from the Roman Catholic Church. There were many friends thought it was wrong. Zwingli has never officially broken with the church, but he has tried to reform it from inside. But Zwingli and Calvin have stated concerning the service of the Lord, then we need a warrant in God's word. Everything that takes place in the church and in the worship service. The labors of Ulrich Zwingli, they were richly blessed. Oh, Zwingli and Luther, there was a Philip of Hesse that have brought them together, because especially concerning the Lord's Supper, there was a different thought. Luther believed that Christ was bodily present with and in the elements of the Lord's Supper. Zwingli and Calvin, they believed what was written in the Bible. And alas, alas, ah, Luther, Zwingli, more scriptural, but Luther would not give it up. Zwingli, in tears, has stretched out his hand to Luther, but Luther said, I may not give my hand as a brother, only as a friend, because well, we must also be charitable to our enemies. At the end, they have written up 15 articles. They agreed on all of them except the 15th. Concerning the Lord's Supper, Ulrich Zwingli did not become so old. 47 years, 9 months, and 11 days. In Switzerland, there were cantons. We call them a province. There were different provinces that have went over to the Reformation. There were also many that remained Roman Catholic. And the conflict became great. The Roman Catholic provinces, they received much of their food supply from the Protestants. And then there were different thoughts, because there was still persecution in the Roman Catholic cantons. The province of Bern said, let us withhold food, then we shall starve them, and then they shall bow. There were others thought that was wrong. When we read of the Reformation, then many times we do not think all the different thoughts. It was a time of change. All the division that there was. Zwingli, he had a large part in the government of Zurich. In the time of the Reformation, the separation of state and church was not so clear. Zwingli even tried for a union of state and church. But what has now happened? The Roman Catholic, when they did not receive enough food, they have gathered their army together and marched toward Zurich. They have quickly gathered an army, some say 800, others 1,500. The Roman Catholic provinces, 8,000 or 9,000. And then also Ulrich Zwingli. He is dead. His dear wife, his children, farewell. History tells us that when he has mounted his horse, that horse refused to leave. But after much coaxing and force, then the horse has left. Ulrich Zwingli, he has went along as a minister. And when he stooped over a dying one, he was also struck. And then during the night watches under a tree, they have found him still alive, the Roman Catholics. And then they have killed him, cut his body in 4 parts, burned it, and thrown it to the wind. Then there have come messengers. 4 messengers have come to Job. 5 messengers to the wife and children of Zwingli. The first messenger, your dear husband is no more. The second, the oldest son. The third, the death of the brother. The fourth, a son-in-law. And the fifth, 25 ministers who had been trained by Zwingli. What heavy tidings is recorded that she was privileged to say with the Job, the Lord has given, only married 7 years. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nevertheless, Henry Bullinger has taken Zwingli's wife and the children under his roof, but it seems that she is pined away in her sorrow and only lived 7 more years. We read in Revelations 14, verse 13, concerning the blessed of the upright, that they may rest from their labors and their works, do follow them. Then also in Switzerland, there was another reformer born, John Calvin. He was 22 years old, his congregation. When we consider the wonderful work of the Reformation, what our fathers have sacrificed, many have shed their blood, what a blood has flown. Then in the first place, it is necessary that we and our children, that we may know and remember all that has transpired in the days of the Reformation. In the second place, more given to appreciate it, that we have such a precious heritage entrusted unto us, and to that end is our calling to guard that heritage. Each generation is a link in the chain. Then in the fourth place, even willing to sacrifice. The reformers have sacrificed much. Think of Zwingli, dear wife, children left behind. Then in the next place, the need that we are given to pray, say, Lord, wilt thou grant a reformation, or is there no need for a reformation when we have become much like unto the world? To that end, may it please the Lord to remember us and our children, the necessity that by the grace of God that we are given to experience the Reformation truths. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard in this evening of wonderful things, the wonders which thou hast performed in the days of old. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Work lovingly, irresistibly, in the hearts of young and old. And when that taketh place, then those truths, they become so necessary and so precious. And then it is needful for those further leadings that we are brought out of the house of bondage. And we have heard of that preaching, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our Lord. Hitherto thou hast wonderfully kept the truth for us. And surely that is for a purpose. And may that purpose become more and more manifest. And then it shall be seen in the lives of young and old. Lord, bring us to our dwellings. Watch over us in this week. Wilt thou remember the mission board when they hope to meet? Wilt thou gather with us and remember all the needs of the mission? What they need on the mission field that we and our children need, Lord. Bless the labors of our hand. Wilt thou keep us in the home, at school, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. Keep us from sin and temptation. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, 221. And let us sing the stanzas 1 and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, amid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And what follows, Psalter 221, the stanzas 1 and 3. The consistory announces that at the exit there is a little booklet concerning modesty, and there are sufficient numbers for all the families and the confessing members. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.